Tales of tomorrow. Tales beyond human imagination. Until they happen. Tales of Tomorrow, story number 13. The Old Die Rich by H.L. Gold.
This is your host, Omentor, saying hello. I'd like to take a little trip to another century. Just name your choice. You can go back through the years as far as you like, or forward into the future and visit civilizations as yet unknown. Fantastic? Not if you use the proper vehicle, which, in this case, is a time machine. What's that? Where do you find a time machine? Well, I found one in a remarkable story from Galaxy Magazine. A story called The Old Die Rich.
Hello.
Mark.
Oh, yeah, hello, Lou. What's up?
I'm calling from Central Hospital. We got another of those cases here.
Old man, dead of malnutrition with thousands of dollars in the bank?
No, this old guy had $17,000 in the lining of his coat, and he's still alive.
Alive? Lou, will he stay that way?
It's hard to say. He was three quarters dead from hunger when the cops picked him up. The doctors are shooting him full of heart stimulants and feeding him intravenously. Now, how soon can you get here?
Right away. Wait for me. This was it, the break I'd been waiting for ever since I'd first become curious about all those old people who died of starvation with plenty of money in the bank. This was the first one who turned up alive. If I could talk to him, find out why he'd done it. But I couldn't. When I reached the hospital...
Too late, Mark.
Oh.
By 5 minutes.
Now, that's luck for you. I wait months for a chance like this, and when it comes, I'm stuck in a taxi cab. I feel like giving up the whole thing.
Why don't you?
What?
Why make a big mystery about something that's perfectly natural?
There's nothing natural about people starving themselves to death when they have plenty of money.
I told you it happens every day. Now, here's the death certificate on this one. Malnutrition induced by senile psychosis.
Ah, that's too pat.
Pat or not pat, that's the explanation. This guy was like the rest of them in your file. He starved himself because he was crazy. Because he was less afraid of death than he was of digging into his savings.
I don't believe it. This one, did he have any means of identification on him?
No.
You see, he fits into the pattern. He was old, he had no means of identification. If he had had a bank book, I'd bet it would be just like the others.
You mean that business about the ink?
You've never been able to explain that.
Well, I can now.
How? The entries in those bank books date back as much as 50 years, but chemical analysis shows that the ink is only a few months old.
The ink only seems to be a few months old. Now, don't you see, those entries would look fresh if the bank books were kept in the right kind of container.
What sort of a container would that be?
Well, I guess it would have to be, well, practically airtight, so the ink wouldn't oxidize.
All right, now ask yourself this. Would every one of those starvation cases have kept his bank book in an airtight container? Does that sound logical?
I admit it's a pretty big coincidence. But how else can you explain it?
I don't have any answers. Yet. Lou, did this old guy say anything before he died?
Well, he started mumbling about a Miss Roberts, like he was afraid of it.
Miss Roberts? Who is she?
Well, I tried to get him to tell me, but he was too far gone.
Anything else?
That's all. Why don't you give it up, Mark?
Give up now, when for the first time I've got something solid to go on?
What have you got?
The name Roberts. During the next week, I made a list of all the Robertses in the phone book. Every morning, I checked the want ads. And finally, I found what I was looking for. The ad read, Wanted, man over 50 years of age. Good income, no experience necessary. Apply May Roberts, 1205 Eldridge Avenue. The house was an old five-story brownstone in the wealthier part of town. I showed up the next morning, made up as an old man, my face lined with collodion wrinkles, wearing an old suit and shabby shoes. May Roberts had red hair, pale skin, and blue eyes as cold as ice. Three words describe her: beautiful but hard. Her voice, as she asked for my name, address, and social security number and references, was completely impersonal. After writing it all down...
Thank you, Mr. Weldon. We'll get in touch with you if we need you. Good day.
She practically pushed me out of the house. Whatever that job was, I didn't get it. But why? What had I done wrong? Then it came to me in a flash. Hadn't all the starvation cases been men without social security numbers or references? Yeah, I'd pulled a boner. That night, I waited until all the lights in the brownstone house went out. And I climbed up the fire escape, trying the windows until I found one that was unlocked. I opened it, jumped inside, and came face to face with May Roberts. She had a gun in her hand.
Mr. Weldon, isn't it? I thought I told you to wait until we'd get in touch with you.
Please don't turn me over to the police, Miss Roberts. I never tried to rob a house before, but I'm unkind.
You aren't an old man, and you didn't come here to rob me.
What else would I be doing here?
I know this much about you. You're 32 years old, and you've been trying to find out why senile psychotics starve themselves to death.
How did you know that?
You seemed a bit too curious this morning. So I conducted an investigation of my own. What have you found out about me?
Nothing.
Let me remind you, you're guilty of housebreaking. I could shoot you and claim I did it in self-defense. So please be completely frank with me.
All right. I know you're the daughter of the late Dr. Anthony Roberts, the physicist. And that you're a pretty good physicist in your own right. And that's all I know. You could let me go and I wouldn't have a thing on you.
No, I don't think you would. On the other hand, you might convince the police to get a search warrant. That would be inconvenient.
Not if you've nothing to hide.
You want to find out my connection with the senile psychotics. Very well, I'll show you. Go through that door and turn to the right.
Hmm? Where now?
Through that open door to your left.
Ah, your laboratory, eh?
You might call it that.
What's that queer-looking wire mesh cage and those electric motors?
That's what I'm going to show you. But first, I want you to undress.
You mean take my clothes off?
That's right.
Look, I'm not in the habit of undressing.
Please,
in front
Mr. Weldon, I'm a scientist. Also, I have the gun.
She pulled a bundle of clothes from the shelves on the wall. They were cut in the style of 20 years ago. When I put them on, she took a bundle of envelopes from a work desk. Then she switched on the electric motors.
You've been an unexpected nuisance, Weldon. But now that you're here, we might as well both benefit by it. The money those old men had in the bank, you'd like to know where it came from, wouldn't you?
Sure.
And I suppose you'd like to be rich yourself.
Is that an offer?
It's a command. Take these envelopes and get into that cage.
Hey, wait a minute. What's this all about?
When the time comes, I want you to use the envelopes in the order they're arranged.
Are you going to do the same thing to me that you did to those old men?
I'm going to make you rich, Mr. Weldon.
Ha! Rich and dead. No, thanks.
You won't die unless you refuse to follow instructions.
It was either the gun or the cage, so I chose the cage. She went to a big electrical switch and pushed it as far as it would go. The cage began to vibrate like a tuning fork. I was being shaken like a tree in a storm. The next thing I remember is finding myself standing near a newsstand. Then several things hit me. It was day instead of night. Spring instead of autumn. The cars on the street had square bodies. I turned to the newsstand, picked up a paper, and looked at the date on the front page. May 15th, 1931. It hit me like a punch in the solar plexus. I'd been taken for a ride in a time machine, carried back 22 years. The envelopes. I hauled them out of my pocket. The first one contained $150. Somehow, perhaps by hypnosis, I heard May Roberts' voice.
Deposit this money at the First National Bank under your name.
I had no account at the bank, but they welcomed me with open arms. The vice president of the bank made out my bank book personally. Outside on the street again, I opened the second envelope. It contained 10 crisp $100 bills.
Take this and buy as many shares of stock in General Motors as you can. Buy it in the name of Dr. Anthony Roberts.
My $1,000 bought a tremendous wad of stock certificates. Stock that's worth many times as much in today's market. Then the third envelope. $500 in small bills.
Bet this on the championship heavyweight fight between Max Schmeling and Jack Sharkey. Bet on Sharkey to win.
I put down every dollar of it and cleaned up. After that, the fever of what I was doing got into my blood. I made dozens of bets, opened dozens of accounts at banks, bought dozens of blue chip stocks, and all of them sure things because May Roberts knew in advance which stocks would go up and which horse or fighter would win. I'd cleaned up $15,000 for myself and 100 times that much for May Roberts when I ran out of envelopes. Suddenly, I blacked out on the street. When I came to my senses again, I was in the room with the motors, inside the wire mesh cage.
You can come out now.
Thanks.
Well, how'd you like your trip into the past?
Very interesting and profitable. But one thing puzzled me. I am kind of hungry, but a long way from being starved.
What made you think you'd be starved?
The others always were.
Mac, you don't mind my using first names now that we know each other, do you?
Go right ahead.
Good. Look, I'm not infallible, Mark. Sometimes I make mistakes. Occasionally, I hire men too old to stand the strains of time travel. I try not to let that happen, but they need money so badly that they lie about their age and health. Can you blame me for that?
Not if it's the truth.
Don't you believe me, Mark?
I think you're a killer. A very brilliant one. To invent a time machine, you'd have to be a genius.
You think I invented the time machine to win a few $100,000 at gambling? You underestimate me, Mark. The purpose of the time machine is to help all mankind.
And just how do you help mankind with it?
Well, you've already seen how simple it is to make money by sending men back into the past. That's the smallest part of my work. There were great upheavals in the past, Mark. Wars and revolutions, vandalism and great fires. I sent men back to save things that would have been destroyed. Beautiful things. Things that would have been lost to the world forever if I hadn't interfered. There's no point in talking about the treasures of the past when the treasures of the future are so much more important.
You mean to say you're familiar with the future?
I know something about it. Enough to solve most of the problems of the world if I could find the right man to help me.
What do you mean?
Well, up until now, I've concentrated the time machine on the past. Only once I sent a man into the future.
What happened to him?
He was too old to survive the strain of the transitions.
But you said you'd found out something that could benefit all mankind.
I did. That man lived long enough to describe a small metal box, small enough for one man to carry, but producing enough power to run this city's industries and light its homes and streets.
Atomic energy?
I don't know. But, Mark, can you imagine what the world would be like today if those boxes were in every city?
Cheap power. It would revolutionize the world, all right. But where do you find those boxes?
In the civilization of the year 2023.
What's your idea, May? Do you want me to go into the future and get that box so it can be copied and distributed?
You can't do that.
Why not?
It's physically impossible to bring anything from the future that doesn't exist right now. So you can't bring back the box, only the technical information to build one.
Technical information? But I'm not a scientist.
You don't have to be a scientist to find the data and copy it down in notebooks.
Maybe so.
But isn't the future uncharted territory? I'm no hero. I want to come back alive.
Don't you think I want you to come back?
This could be a sweet way to get rid of me.
I'm rather fond of you, Mark. I've waited a long time for a man like you to come along. I'd hate to lose you now.
May, does that mean what it sounds like?
Listen to me. We'll have money, power, love. All the things two people could ever wish for.
If I come back.
Mark, are you afraid of me?
Yeah, a little.
Don't be silly. Come here, Mark.
She was fire and ice. She was all the things I wanted in a woman, and a few that I didn't want. Part of me was repelled, the other part was fascinated. A couple of hours later, we went back to the laboratory, and I entered the wire mesh cage.
Don't be afraid, darling. I'll be here waiting for you.
May, how long are you going to keep me in the year 2023?
1 month. Goodbye, darling.
Once again, the motors were screaming. The cage vibrating faster and faster until the mesh blurred, the earth spun. And then suddenly I was catapulted into a world I never knew. The world of 2023. A minute later, I was back on the street. There was a sign at the intersection. It read, "To the shopping center." I followed the arrow to the center of the city, a large square with a park in the middle and shops on all four sides. I walked along it until I found an electrical appliance store. What could I say? I didn't even know the name of the box I was looking for. And even if I had known it, I had no money to buy it with, assuming it was for sale. I found the box purely by accident. It was sitting on a counter made of a tinted metal, no bigger than a suitcase, with a lipped vent on top and a dial alongside. I didn't know I had found it, actually, until I twisted the dial. Suddenly, every light in the store glared, and the salesman came rushing over.
Please be careful, sir. We don't want to burn out every light and motor in the place, do we?
I'm sorry. I just wanted to see if it worked okay.
Oh, but there's never any question about that. Dynapacks always work. The principle is simple. There are no moving parts to wear out, so they last indefinitely. But you must know that. Everyone learns about the Dynapack in primary education.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Are you thinking of getting one, sir?
Me? No. The old one is good enough. I'm curious to see if the new models are much different from the old ones.
New models? There hasn't been a new model since the year 2008. Can you think of any reason why they should be?
Why, no. Guess not, but... Well, you never can tell.
You can with Dynapacks. Now, if you'd like to make application for one, I'd be glad to take your name and address.
No, thanks.
I'll only need a moment, sir. Now, if you'll step
in. I don't have the time. I've got an appointment. Sorry to trouble you.
It's no trouble at all, sir. Now, if you just come
here. I got out of there fast. Ducking around several corners, I went into the park and sat down on a bench. I was like an ancient Egyptian set down in the middle of Central Park with instructions to steal a mummy out of the Metropolitan Museum. Hours passed as I tried to figure it out. And there was only one thing to do. I had to take a chance and ask someone for help. Just then a man sat down on the bench beside me. He was middle-aged and looked friendly.
Mind if I sit down here?
Not at all. Look, mister, I'm a stranger in town, and I haven't eaten all day. Could you help me get a meal somewhere?
Certainly, I'll be glad to help you, Mr. Weldon.
Oh, it's real nice of you to... What did you call me?
You are Mark Weldon, aren't you? Mark Weldon from the 20th century.
You know who I am?
Of course. All the city officials know about you, Mr. Weldon. We've been expecting you.
Expecting me? But how? How did you know?
We read all about you in the private papers of May Roberts.
So you know about her, too?
Oh, yes. You see, Miss Roberts' private papers were discovered in her vault several weeks ago. That's how we knew exactly when you would come, where to find you.
And you know why I'm here?
Well, certainly. to obtain information that would enable Miss Roberts to build a diner pack. By the way, my name is Archibald Carr. I'm mayor of the city.
All right, you've caught me, Mr. Carr. You can do whatever you want with me. But first, get me something to eat. I'm starving. Mayor Carr took me to his home, a magnificent apartment in one of those tall glass buildings. We had dinner together, served by a pretty maid who kept staring at me as though I were a freak. Mayor Carr ate roast beef and green vegetables, topped off with savory coffee and a rich dessert. I ate canned meat, canned vegetables, and dehydrated potatoes. For dessert, I had dried fruits and powdered milk.
I hope that food doesn't taste too unpleasant, Mr. Weldon. Unfortunately, we can't give you any of the foods we eat ourselves.
Why not? Seems to be more than enough to go around.
If you ate our food, you would die when you returned to the 20th century, like those pathetic old men you've been investigating.
What?
Canned meat, powdered milk, and the rest of it may not taste very appetizing, but at least it won't do any harm. You see, all of it was prepared in your time.
I don't get it.
Mr. Weldon, didn't May Roberts explain that nothing can exist before it exists? Isn't that why you were able to obtain the technical data on the Dynapack instead of the Dynapack itself?
That's right.
Well, if you returned to the 20th century with a Dynapack, it would revert to a lump of metals, because that's all it was in your time. In the same way, you couldn't take our foods back because our foods were non-existent in the 20th century.
And if I tried to, I'd die of malnutrition like the others?
Exactly.
Did May Roberts know that?
Of course.
I don't believe it. She said she would...
Love you. To borrow a 20th century expression, she was playing you for a sucker. She expected you to bring back the technical information and then die like the others. Fortunately for you, we were able to read her papers in advance.
But why should she do that? She doesn't want the Dynapack for herself. Isn't she after it because it will bring cheap power to the 20th century?
No, Mr. Weldon, she intends to use the Dynapack to enslave your century, to revenge herself on a society that rejected and humiliated her father, the scientist, Dr. Roberts. She wants the Dynapack to create technological unemployment and wars and revolutions without end.
That's not true. It can't be. It just can't be.
You don't have to take my word, Mr. Weldon. I can prove everything I said.
How can you prove it?
By letting you read the private papers of Mayor Roberts for yourself. They are stored in the city archives a short distance from here. I'll take you there as soon as you're ready. Well, Mr. Weldon, do you believe me now?
It's fantastic. Gruesome. She's a cold-blooded murderer. According to these papers, she sent those old men into the future, knowing they'd die when they returned. And she's planned the same thing for me.
Yes. And she'll succeed unless you cooperate with us.
What do you want me to do?
Then you will trust us and work with us.
After reading this, to the limit. How can I describe the next month? I was the guest of Mayor Carr, with the freedom to travel the entire country. Those people of the future had learned all the secrets of the physical universe. But more important, they'd learned how to live with each other and each with himself. I'd have given anything to spend the rest of my life with them, but it couldn't be. May Roberts controlled me through the time machine. Every day, every passing hour brought me closer to the time of departure. I was in my room asleep when the last moment came.
Mark, you've come back.
Yes, I'm back, May. What's the matter? Why are you staring at me?
I thought you'd be...
You thought I'd be thin as a ghost, a walking cadaver, just strong enough to tumble out of here and collapse on the street.
What an idea. Darling, please don't start distrusting me again. Did you bring back the information on the power box?
No. The Dynapack is better off where it is. Those people showed me that inventions that appear before the world is ready for them can cause more harm than good.
You fool. So you double-crossed me. I don't know how you escaped starvation, but you won't escape this time.
Hold it. Keep your hand away from your pocket.
Let go of me, Marta. Go.
Yeah, as soon as I see what's in that pocket. Yeah, I thought so. A gun.
Give that to me.
To kill me with? Or maybe your plan was to force me back into the cage and send me to a century I could never come back from.
Well, it's your turn this time.
What are you talking about?
Get into that cage. My friends in the next century have plans for you.
But it's murder.
As Lou Pape would say, there's no murder without a corpse. How many deaths were you responsible for? The law couldn't convict you, but I can. Get inside.
Mark, you're making a mistake. You could have so much money, power, me.
I'd have you all right long enough to get my throat slit.
Mark!
Please,
don't do this to me. Give my regards to my friend from the next century.
I waited until she was gone. Then I phoned Lou Pape. And when he got to the house, I told him the entire story. He listened with an expression of disbelief until I was finished.
So you sent the dame into the year 2023, huh?
That's right, Lou.
I've heard some crazy yarns in the years I've been on the force, but never one to beat this. Have you been hitting the bottle?
It's true, every word of it. Look, see for yourself. There's the time machine.
The time machine, huh? All right, let's have a peek under that tin hood.
Wait,
things exploded.
I'll switch off the current. Are you all right, Lou? Did you get hurt?
I'm okay. I jumped away in time. The machine is ruined, though.
I might have known. She had it rigged to short and explode if it was tampered with. No one will ever be able to figure out how it worked from that mess.
If it ever did work. Where's Miss Roberts, Mark?
In the next century.
Now, don't give me that. Did you kill her?
No, Lou, I just told you.
I heard that before. And I'm sorry, Mark, but I have to take you down to headquarters. You better have a good story when you meet the boys from Homicide.
I told the detectives the same as I told Lou Pape. I was grilled for days. They dug up the cellar of the house on Eldridge Avenue, searching for May Roberts' body. Naturally, they didn't find it. Eventually, they released me and listed May Roberts with the Missing Persons Bureau. I often think of May Roberts, of Mayor Carr, and all those other people in the future. And sometimes it all seems like a dream. When that happens, I take out my bank book and look at the $15,000 I have on deposit. A gift from May Roberts. Or should I say, a gift from the past.
It, The Old Die Rich by H.L. Gold. Thanks to wonderful Galaxy magazine, now on the stands. This is your host, Omentor, and until next week, I leave you with this thought. Look out for beautiful redheads. One of them might just possibly own a little time machine.
Tales of Tomorrow. Heard in tonight's play were John Raby, Raleigh Bester, Maurice Tarplin, and your host, Omentor, Raymond Edward Johnson. Special effects, Ed Blaney and Bob Prescott. Engineer, Joe Durante. Music was composed and conducted by Bobby Christian. Script adaptation by Michael Sklar. Thank you. This has been Tales of Tomorrow, exciting science fiction stories of the future, thrilling tension tales of the days to come. Tune in again next week at this same time and over these same stations for another thrilling story. This is the United States Armed Forces Radio Service.